You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts. And David, our next guest is Raina Peterson, who's here to talk about Bent Hollywood. Welcome, Raina.
Hi. It's Bent Bollywood.
Oh, sorry. you won't get it wrong, did I? Yes, exactly.
Even though we know the word Bollywood so well.
I know, exactly. It all says Bollywood. I always say the wrong thing. Sorry, Bent Bollywood. Welcome, Raina. And you're here to talk about the show, obviously, but we want to have a bit of a chat to you about your background a little bit, how you got involved in the arts. I'm assuming dance as well. So how did you get involved? What is your background?
Yeah, well, I was born and grew up in country Victoria, and my family was part of, we founded a Fiji Indian community organization in Gippsland, and every year for Diwali, the kids would learn dance. So I started dancing.
So is there many people, from Fiji in that part of the world?
In Gippsland?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I think my mum was one of the first.
Right.
And then the community started, I guess, growing a little bit. And so when I was growing up, so there were like several families when I was a kid in country Victoria, but spread out over the entire area of Gippsland. So I was the only Indian in my school, which sucked. it was a bit of racism I experienced growing up, and but it was kind of a weird kind of racism because I guess people didn't know how to be racist to Indians.
Mm.
So they would be quite creative in how they were horrible to me. Then The Simpsons came along, and with the character of Apu, then people kind of realised the correct way to be racist to Indians. That was a relief.
Became more informed racism.
Yeah, more informed racism, yeah.
But your dad, where's he from?
My dad is a white Australian from country Victoria.
And so therefore, it's a bit of a mixed bag in a way, isn't it? Because you're not from Fiji per se. You were born here, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're Australian.
Sure.
but try tell other people that sometimes.
Yes.
It's not the easiest thing to do. So how did you, how did that shape you, or how did you get through that part of your life?
Yeah, I think it was really difficult. Like, I think feeling culturally isolated. It was kind of weird. We had like quite a strong community, although spread out over a bit of distance. But I think having that presence was really important to me. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that. And that engagement with cultural practice, like dance and the arts and other ways of connecting with my heritage. It was quite, I guess, monocultural where I was growing up. And I think having dance was pretty important for me. And I guess, getting a sense of who I was and feeling comfortable with that. Yeah.
So what did you do? Were you studying dance or anything like that while you were in Gippsland? Or, did you wait until you moved, say, to Melbourne?
Well, I guess, it started pretty grassroots. Like, some auntie would come and teach us some dances. And so they were kind of like folk and Bollywood dances, and would perform them at Diwali concerts that we held for ourselves. And me and my sibling, we would also perform at our school and around the place. We're in the paper several times. And then we moved out of the country, and we started attending a classical Indian dance class. So I'm trained in a dance form called Mohiniyattam, which comes from Kerala. And so I learned from Tara Rajkumar since I was 12. And so
what, here in Melbourne?
Here in Melbourne,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
There's actually like so many classical Indian dances in Melbourne, like there are so many schools, but
which I didn't realise that, but when you think about it, how many Indian people there are here, yeah, of course it would be,
So this is absolutely massive, huge classical Indian dance and music scene in Melbourne that kind of is a bit marginalised by the arts industry, and it's kind of pushed away into the suburbs, but it's freaking amazing, and you should all go and check out some stuff, because we're pretty lucky here in Melbourne to have that.
So
was that something you did full-time, or was that something you did as part of as an extracurricular activity, part of school?
So it was an extracurricular activity for most of my life. I guess I started performing professionally when I was at uni, and me and a couple of my friends, we were tired of the racism that we were kind of encountering around uni, and we're like, oh, we got to do something about this. What should we do? Should we make a zine? Should we organize a forum? And then one of us was like, let's do a cabaret show. And I'm like, of course, brilliant. And so we formed the Ladies of Colour Agency, and we developed an anti-racist cabaret show that we did at the Melbourne Fringe Festival and the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and so that was like, I guess, the beginning of my professional dance career as this bizarre cabaret act.
Okay, now sorry, we just glossed over that one part. I want to go back a little bit. So you form part of Ladies of Culture. Can you just explain a little bit about Ladies of Colour. I'm all over the place now. Ladies of Colour. Tell us a little bit about what that involved and what you, I suppose, hope to for that lead to.
Yeah, well, I guess we thought we'd do it to perform in front of at uni. We didn't really think beyond that.
Okay.
But then it became bigger and bigger, I guess, and yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, it was basically a variety show. There was three of us, Leah Incognita, Loretta Moy, and myself, and it was spoken word and theatre and dance and burlesque and all around the themes of racism and identity. And yeah, we performed that in Melbourne to, you know, sell out audiences, and we took it to Adelaide where it did not go down very well at all.
What was that?
Because we almost started a riot.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of our acts, one of the things that I do is I have this act where I am dressed in the Australian flag. And
oh, right.
Yes.
I know where you're going.
Yes. And then I do this kind of striptease kind of thing where I chop it off my body and invite the audience to do the same. And it's this kind of very joyous, fun act. And in Melbourne, it goes down amazingly. Like, people get really into it and appreciate where it's coming from, like, as a critique of, like, racist nationalism and white supremacy. In Adelaide, that nuance was kind of lost on people a little bit, and they became very angry and, threatened us and threatened the venue, and were complaining on Talkback Radio, and Channel 9 was following us around, and that was very exciting.
Did it put bumps on seats for you?
Oh, yeah.
People came out to see it then.
Mm,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It worked.
Well, that's what they say. Any publicity is good publicity sometimes. So if it worked in your favour. So, but did that put you off, like, what you did in Adelaide, or is that something that, you know?
Well, it put me off Adelaide.
Okay. So you obviously haven't been back to Adelaide.
Not since then, no.
Okay.
But I performed that same act the other night at the Cocoa Butter Club, which is a person of colour performing arts.
Yep.
Well, there you are.
Our previous guest, Daniel, told us a little bit about that show.
Ah, yes.
So was that a one-off show, or is that still on the Arts Centre?
The Cocoa Butter Club? Yeah. Oh, it was just a one-off thing.
Okay,
but it's actually an ongoing event. Like, normally it's at the Spiegel Tent.
Yep.
I think the next one's in April, but you should get on its Facebook page and they'll post when the events are, because they're always amazing.
And do you have an ongoing role with Cocoa Butter Club as well, or was it?
No, I'm just a performer. I have performed there once before, and like, it's an amazing vibe. Okay. Like, so many great acts.
Now tell us about Bent Bollywood.
Yes.
The minute I saw it, the media release, I went, oh my God, we've got to do this. Bollywood and a Bent Bollywood.
Yeah.
Can't get much better than that. So where did the idea come from, and what are we going to see?
Well, I guess like the seed of this show came from an act that my dance partner Gorvin Pillay and I did at the Woodford Folk Festival. And it was it was this kind of burlesque-y classical Indian. We call it classical Indian burlesque. It's, I need to think of a better name, but like, it's got like, it's an act, and it's got, Bollywood and classical Indian dance and queer performance art and all kinds of weird stuff kind of mashed into this piece. And we performed it at the Woodford Folk Festival, and the audience just went absolutely crazy. Well, okay, I think we're onto something good here. And so, so now we've got a full show of it. So the show, it has classical Indian dance, so it's very technical and technically rich, I guess. But it's also, you know, got the camp theatrics of Bollywood and, you know, the weirdness and wackiness of queer performance art. And it's gay and it's slutty and it's sexy and it's weird and it's fabulous. I'm pretty proud.
So it's not that whole, you know, like the handshaking and all those Bollywood dresses and, you know, that sort of coming down the aisle as we expect to see in a Bollywood film.
I don't know what you expect to see in a Bollywood film, but it's very yeah, all those things, classical Indian dance, Bollywood, burlesque. Yeah, it's really hot. It's very hot.
So obviously, when you say classical dance, it's a, you know, like you say, it's a development or mashup, I suppose, is one way of putting it, of the classical as well as the Bollywood.
Yeah.
The burlesque part of it, I mean, like, I suppose, how many performers, is it just yourself and your...
Yeah.
The two of you that do the show?
Yeah.
And, okay. So I suppose from an audience perspective, what you know, what can we expect? Is, yeah, I suppose it's just a lot of fun and frivolities from by the sounds of it.
Well, it's I guess the show is also quite beautiful and moving and evocative, and it kind of builds from this space of identity and love, I guess. So it's got, like, you know, really high energy stuff, but it's also quite it's got quite evocative, meditative moments as well.
Okay,
it's a bit of a ride.
Right. Okay, well, it sounds like a real ride for the audience, I suppose, in the audience to sit through. And I suppose David's comment about the Bollywood, I suppose in my mind, when I think of the Bollywood, it's that very sort of the very loud sort of music with
and 100 dancers. And
yeah, exactly. And I suppose, is that the Bollywood that you're talking about? I suppose I'm coming from a bit of ignorance because I'm not quite sure where the classical, you know, how to separate the classical from the Bollywood. So is the classical just more to do with, is that a slightly more serene sort of performance or is, you know, how would you differentiate between the two, basically?
Well, just to step back a bit, I guess, like, classical Indian dance is like hundreds and hundreds of years old. Mm. It's very structured, very technical. It's got a strong storytelling element that's quite religious. It took place in temples and palaces and sometimes courtyards as well. So it's got this very, very ancient kind of elite, I guess, sort of history, very, very technical, very complex. And Bollywood is the name of the Indian, well, the Hindi language film industry. So I guess when people talk about, like, Bollywood could be referring to any aspect of that industry. Okay. It's like the India's Hollywood, except, you know, a million, billion times bigger. And I guess Bollywood dance as a genre is not really a genre. Like, it's just, I guess it's dancing that's can
and
refer
very joyous
to the films. Well, it can be anything. It can be, it can draw from hip hop or can draw from classical Indian dance or folk dance. It's very multiple in its forms, I guess.
And I suppose when I think of Bollywood dance, I think of the more energetic, the high production, big numbers, I suppose, a bit like a big musical sort of number type stuff. And whereas if I thought of classical, if I'm thinking classical Indian, a bit like classical sort of any other sort of Asian, even Burmese, Chinese, anything like that, you think of the more serene, like you say, the storytelling sort of stuff. So it just seems almost like extreme. So that does, I suppose, interest me as to how you sort of bridge the two things together a little bit.
Yeah.
Has that been an interesting sort of journey for you to sort of, with your training and everything, to move into, or?
Yeah, I think developing this work has been very, it's been quite an emotional process for us, because it's been very difficult. Like, we're both, you know, trained in classical Indian dance. For us, churning out, like, choreographing classical Indian dance stuff is very easy.
That's what you've learned.
Yeah,
that's your training.
Yeah. And so I think, like, for us, trying to take the audience on the journey, because I think what's interesting about us and what we're trying to explore in this show is, I guess, what it means to be queer and Indian, and kind of reconciling, I guess, culture and sexuality and the values of all the different influences that we have. And so we're trying to explore the joyousness of our identities as queer Indians. And so kind of blending classical Indian dance, which is, you know, very technical and complex and kind of elite, with frivolity and high energy, joyous, sexy, slutty stuff has been very difficult for us in terms of, like, how do we navigate that in a way which is still respectful of our, you know, respective traditions and respectful of our culture, but is also recognizing that this is as much a part of our culture. This queer stuff, this sexual stuff, is as much a part of our culture and our identity as any other aspect of it.
It sounds absolutely fascinating.
It does.
So part of Midsummer.
Yep.
And it's Bent Bollywood. Where's it playing, Neil?
Mechanics Institute in Brunswick.
Yes.
And that's from the 25th of January to the 3rd of February.
Yep.
And that's part of Midsummer, as you said. So I suppose if somebody goes to the Midsummer website, they should be able to access your page and find out details about that show.
And just look for Bent Bollywood.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Thank you so much for coming in today. And all the very best with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.